Matan there, we can stop because we're in Perek in Shavav, in Perek Vav, in Shara Betochen. We started dealing with the person who wants a mashkin from Hashem. We spoke about it. We put ourselves into the picture as well. It's not talking about some shugana. Talking about a lot of it's talking about some of it is, but a lot of it's talking to us as well. We want to have some sense of security before we start actually doing what we're supposed to be doing. We saw the first refutation. When a servant doesn't ask his master for guarantees that he'll get a salary, because lo magelo salary in the first place. The second refutation, so we'll see that now. So that's what we saw. It's for somebody who understands his position in the world. So for him to demand a security is absurd. That's really what we came away with last time. So he goes on, he says, Vasheni. I think he said he was going to bring seven reasons why you can't do this. I think he said, I don't remember. Seven ways. Okay, so we've done one, we're about to do the second one. Vasheni. Shakolamakabu Mashkin Michavere, Yesh lo Kitspa Ulovakoshosoi Tichlo. Somebody who demands a mashkin from his friend, accepts a mashkin from his friend, the security has a set amount. And the request is limited, and the mashkin is matim to the amount that's being requested. If you borrow $1,000, you don't have to give the guy $1 million mashkin. But it's limited, it has a set amount.
The
one who's asking a mashkin from Hashem, there's no end to his demand, because he doesn't know how much he's going to need in order to support him for the rest of he and everybody else in his family's lives. There's the natural, the things a person needs to survive, and additional things ad yom ha'isam until the last day on earth. Even if he has actually much, much more money than he would need, he still can't have yeshiva das. He's still not relaxed. Because he doesn't know when everybody in his household is going to live, how long they're going to live, how much they're going to need. Maybe someone gets sick and need a doctor. Maybe you have to go. But he doesn't know how much he's going to spend in the next 100 years. He's being foolish in totally unrealistic in what he's requesting as a mashkin. Because there's no limit and there's no set amount. He can't put a ceiling on the security he's seeking because he doesn't know how long he's going to live. He doesn't know how his family's going to live. He doesn't know what their needs are going to be. He doesn't know what the cost of living is going to go up, go down. So he's asking for a mashkin. That's an open, he's asking for a blank check, basically. So that's the second foolishness in the person that wants a mashkin from Hashem, is a mashkin has to have a limited amount in relation to what you're asking. But yeah, you're asking for, you want an open-ended guarantee. So that you can't ask for a mashkin like that. So I'm going to switch this thing off. He claims, this person, Rabbi Victor Miller says this, this person claims that all he wants is a bit of financial security before he starts serving Hashem. When he has, he's got enough money, then for sure he'll stop working and he'll go serve Hashem. But he'll never stop working. Because he's never going to say, I've got enough saved, because he'll never have enough saved because he doesn't know how much he needs. So if what's driving him is this, then he's always going to be, I'll pay my Adam, when I'm free, when I'm freed up from all my troubles, I'll learn. The Mishnah says, don't say that, because maybe you'll never come free. You'll never be available. So this is one of the reasons, because he wants something that's infinite. So he's going to be always stuck in that pit. Vashlishi. Shama mashkin is chaveiro. Someone who normally takes a mashkin from his friend. He only takes from him if he doesn't have an existing debt with that fellow. We'll see what that means now. He's got no claim against me. If I want to borrow money from you, and you demand a mashkin from me, I tell you, what are you talking about? You owe me more than I'm borrowing from you. You owe me $1,000. I'm asking you for a $500 loan. You want a mashkin? But you owe me the money. You can't ask someone a mashkin when he's in debt to you. When you're in debt to him. But din imoy. If I don't have a monetary claim against you, then I can ask for a mashkin. Because maybe you won't pay me back. But if I have a monetary claim from you, if I won't pay you back, so you're still winning because you owe me more than I owe you. So what are you asking for a mashkin for? If the person who's asking for the mashkin is he's already in debt to him, he's from previous obligations. He knows he has outstanding debts that he has to pay. You're not asking for a mashkin. I owe you money. Now I'm asking you to give me a mashkin that you'll pay me back. But I owe you more than you. You understand? The guy's a fool. Even if the guy will offer voluntarily to give you a mashkin, you'll tell him, I can't take a mashkin from you. I owe you money. Even if the guy volunteers. It's fine, but you're fine. You've got a bit of credit with me. Kol shekhen aboire. So much more so when we're talking about a Kodesh Baruch Hu, sheyesh ala adam min ha-chayves ha-royim. Hashem's got a whole bunch of outstanding debts we owe him. He's got a whole lot of credit with us. Ma she'ilu ayu mekabtzi ma'isa shel b'nei adam b'kol yom mosa'ilam li'ish echad mehem. Sorry. Li'ish echad mehem. These debts are so big that we owe to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If you would take all this person's good deeds, never mind all his, he's saying, Kol B'nei Adam, you take all the good deeds of all the people in the world, of all the world's existence, and you give all that to one person. You take all the good deeds, yeah? Take all the good deeds that the whole world, through all the Jews have done, means every good deed that was ever done from Adam HaRishon until now. And you give all that to one person. This is a Rishon talking, okay? There's not some later day Kiruv Rebbe trying to get you emotionally aroused. This is a Rishon talking. It wouldn't be enough to pay for even one of the gifts that Hashem has given you. How do you settle that one? Take all the schus of everybody that ever lived and ever will live. Give it to one person, it can't pay for one chesed that Hashem does. That's beyond our mathematical, we can't even begin to chap that. So that's what he says. So we saw this earlier, by the way, in where was it? Perek Dalad. I just want to see if we remember this. We said this before. Mai said this is where I saw it last, was in Shara Bechina. Yeah, we, in Perek Dalet and in Shai Bechini, he speaks about it at more riches there. But he said that even the mitzvahs, every mitzvah a person does is preceded with chesed from Hashem. And we know the schar of a mitzvah is eternity. Every mitzvah a person does properly, the schar for that is netzach netzachim, is infinite. How big is the schar for a mitzvah? Infinite. But before you can do a mitzvah, Hashem has to do chesed for you. You want to makan the mitzvah brismet, Hashem gives you a child before. You want to put up a muzah, Hashem gives you a house. You want to put up a mic, Hashem gives you a house. You want to, Hashem, the gift that you need in order to perform the mitzvah, you have to get from Hashem. You want to come the mitzvah of Echves, Avas Hashem. So Hashem gives you a seichel first. He gives you a geishim. He gives you the tools to understand what is Avas Hashem. So that goodness that Hashem gives you to do one mitzvah, how big is that? It's olam haba, it's eternity. So how are you going to pay him back for that? You want to become the mitzvahs of trumas and maestros. So Hashem does your chesed, he lets you live in Eretz Yisrael, then he gives you fruit. You want to become the mitzvah of shmita. So it's endless. Boshut endless. And it precedes a mitzvah which generates eternity. Besides, everything else that we get from Hashem, our eyes, our heart, the chesed, the children, everything. So you can never pay back Hashem for one of the chesedim he's done for you. So how much debt are we into him? Now you're going to ask him for a mashkin? V'eich lo yitbayesh ze ha'oz ponim. So how brazen is this man? Is he not ashamed? The vakesh min ha'boire? He's asking Hashem she'yakim toivas g'doy le'salma she'kodom lo etzlo v'yichab v'nachoy v'olav. He's asking Hashem that you please pay me up front. I want gifts up front, in addition to what you've already given me. So now the debt to Hashem becomes even greater. The Levari says it's so posh with this that to demand a mashkin from Hashem in these circumstances, it can only be for your chutzpah, only for your ozus. He doesn't call him a ksil. Before we tell the guy who did what he was doing, who was asking for a mashkin, called him a fool. Now he's calling him. Now he's calling him mamash ozus. It's beyond comprehension. You owe somebody $1 million. He asks you if you can borrow your car for 5 minutes. You tell him, yeah, but I don't know. You'll give it back. What happens if you scratch the door? You owe the guy $1 million. Talking about, and he owed him $1 million. This guy's giving you a laugh. It's beyond comprehension. It's even more chutzpahdik because he may not even be able to deliver to Hashem what he's promised Hashem that he would do for him for all these benefits that he's getting. Because he doesn't know when his days will end. He doesn't know when he's moving on to the next world. He may not live enough to achieve the financial security and also spend his time doing Hashem's service. Even if he does live a long time, and devote an enormous amount of time to serving Hashem, it'll never be enough to pay Hashem for all his kindness. So, now he wants a mashkin? There was once a very pious individual, a chassid, who would often say to people, Bnei Adam, my fellow people, Hayitochen sheyitpa eschem aboir b'choyves mechoros b'yoyim hazeh. Can you conceive such a thing that the Creator will demand that you fulfill tomorrow's obligations today? Hashem comes to you and says, listen, today I know you don't have any obligations to me, but you've got tomorrow's obligations, so do it now. Hashem would never demand that from you. Hashem demands you to do now what you're supposed to do now. Tomorrow you'll do what you have to do tomorrow if you're still around. Hashem will ask you to do today what you machayev in 2 years from now. Amru loy, heichi tochen shiye nizboim b'chayves hayomim shayin ani yoidim im nichya. How can we be held accountable to do things in a time we don't even be here? Who says you're going to be alive? But shenegiel lo kim v'yichayev behem until we reach that time, and then he puts obligations on us. Aval anu chayvim avoid yedua b'zman yedua. We're obligated to perform specific service at a specific time. Hashem asks you each day to do what you have to do today. And when you arrive at a later time, then you'll be obligated then in that time service. Means when tomorrow comes, it'll be now, then you'll do it now. But you never ask to do anything that's not in the now. Just 1 second. When did they speak back to him? He spoke once again. This Chosid said, just 1 second, I understand what the conversation here is. Is it conceivable that Hashem would demand from you to fulfill tomorrow's obligations today? And to demand even later than tomorrow, in a year or two to do today. So they would say to him, to this chassid, the people he was speaking to, how can we possibly hold accountable for obligations of a time when we don't even know if we'll be alive? How can Hashem ask us to do something there now? There's a law, we won't even be around. We're obligated to perform a specific service in a specific time. That's what he tied it back. As Amaleim, so this individual, this chosid, said back to them, V'chein oruv lechem aboiris barach lekol zman yedua teref yedua. So too, a Kodesh Baruch Hu guaranteed a specific amount of sustenance for a specific time. That he promises to give you what you need each day as it comes. V'aleichem bo avoida kvu. And you've got obligations in a specific service in that specific time. So should you feel ashamed and therefore be unable to request from a Kodesh Baruch whose sustenance you need before the time when it's needed has arrived? You're asking Hashem to give you food for 20 years' time. How, what am I going to live in 5 years' time? That's like a Kodesh Baruch asking you to do a chiyuv that hasn't arrived yet. Do that now. How can you do that? So they agree, you can't do that. So how can you demand from a Kodesh Baruch Hu that he'll give you now what you need tomorrow? You don't need it now, you don't get it now. When you need it, he'll give it to you. You should be ashamed, he says. Why do I see you requesting from Hashem sustenance for many, many years in the future? You don't even know if you'll live to get to those days.
So no, but don't you have to do some type of planning? It's not unreasonable.
Once again, we're not talking the world of Ishtadlis now. We mentioned this right at the beginning here. In the world of Ishtadlis, you're 100% correct. Because Ishtadlis, a person has to do. But you can't demand from a Kodesh Baruch Hu, I'm not serving you until you make sure that I have everything I need for the rest of my life.
Yeah, okay, fine, got it.
A person has to make Ishtadlis as mitzvah, which is also part of the Avodas Hashem, is to make Avodas Hashem. The Ishtadlis, we learned about this the other day. You weren't with us when we learned this. In the 9:30 Shia, Yonatan, you have to wake up earlier. You're already at work 2 hours when we start the Shia now. We learned the Ishtadlis that you're making to provide supporting your family, specifically your wife, children less, but the spouse is kula mitzvah deraisa. When you go to the bank to cash a check, or in South Africa they don't have checks anymore, when you do an internet transfer or whatever into your wife's account so she can go shopping or whatever, you become a mitzvah deraisa. That's a avodas Hashem. That for sure you have to do. And based on our level, okay, we're not capable of living on a day-to-day basis.
I know, but in two weeks' time,
I can't wait till the day for rent comes and then start scratching around in the dust and hopefully I'll find a gold coin.
No, 100%, but you said it, that this is different. This is you holding Hashem ransom.
Yeah, I'm going to Hashem and say, listen, I can't open up my Gemara today because I haven't got money to pay the rent in 2 weeks' time. That's what he's talking about. You're talking about somebody who says, listen, I have to pay the rent in 2 weeks' time. I have to make some ishtadlis. Hashem will give me the money, give it. He won't give me the money. And Malasot, if I don't have the money for rent, I'll have to move. That's also what Hashem wants. It might not be 2 weeks for some person, might be he has to start making. I told you, there's a certain person, if he doesn't have to pay back a gemach today, he won't make any shtadlus to find the money. Right. If I have to pay back a gemach in a month, I'll start looking for the money because I'm responsible. I have to pay it back. And you know, wait for the last minute. You have to know where you're holding as well. You know, we're talking about a Baal Betochen. I'm not a Baal Betochen. I'm an apprentice. I'll tell you, Moide Kamaisa, just to show you where we're really holding it. We spoke a while ago, we spoke about how you have to, when you're going through these parshas of Mitzrayim and whatever, you see these big nisim. All these big nisim, it's very hard for us to connect to them and relate to them at a real practical level, yeah? They inspire us when we read them and they're moedic, whatever. But in the day-to-day grind, they don't really get me through the day that much. We mentioned this at some point. So the avoider is to take the little nisim that happened to a person and to use those to connect to the bigger nisim. But you have to connect to the nisim that are happening to you, the little nisim. So, I'll just show you how someone who's working on Betochen at this level thinks. So, Erev Shabbos, I had to drop something with my daughter. And while I was there, she asked me if I could drop something on the other side of Tifrach. Well, I'm never usually in that place. I said, with pleasure. And I was coming down, it was about quarter past 12. No, it was about quarter to 12, sorry. I was coming down. And as I drove past the Rav's house, he was coming out of his house to go to the mikveh. So I stopped, took him to the mikveh. I said, how long are you going to be? He said, no, don't wait for me. I said, no, I actually have to go to something at the Mokolet. I'll be about 10, 15 minutes and I'll pick you up and I'll take you back afterwards. He said, fine, I need 10 minutes. So I went, I did what I had to do. I came back, I waited mamash a minute for him. He came out the mikveh and I took him back home. While we were driving home, he says to me, see, that's what we're talking about, how you should use the small miracles to connect to the big ones. So I'm looking around and I don't even see a small miracle, let alone, I don't see it. I said, what do you mean? He says, I walked out my house today to go to the mikveh. A Kodesh Baruch Hu sent a car to stop inside my house as I stepped out my house to pick him up and take me to the mikveh, wait for me and bring me back home. That's a mifus. That's, how did that happen? Not like you're driving past my house all the time. I said, I wouldn't have been driving past your house in a million years. I don't remember ever being past your house at that time of the day on an Erev Shabbos. Just happened to have to do something for my daughter. That's somebody who's working on Betochen. At our level, an apprentice, the smallest little things that happen, you see, hey, wow, look at this. I had something happen to me yesterday. I still don't know what to do with it. It's amazing. For me, it was just like, I'm still shaking from it. After Mincha, I went to put in petrol by the, and it doesn't matter where it is, by the Tachana Mishtara there. On the way, just on the way out of Beit Shemesh, on the way to Yerushalayim, there's a Tachana Delek that's got cheap petrol. I go there once a week and I put in petrol. Gas, what you call, yeah? So, and usually I fill up there and I go back to the shiva, do what I have to do. I eat lunch, whatever. I have the food in my car. I sometimes sit and just do some work in the car, whatever. I go back to the shiva. I needed to just have some hachavas hadas. So I said, you know what? There's a space just past the Tachana Delek there. I'm going to park on the side of the road. There's a beautiful view there of the mountains. I'll sit there and eat lunch, and then I'll go back to the yeshiva. I've never done that before, and I've never been in that place in my life, to the best of my knowledge. I'm sitting there minding my own business, eating lunch, going through my emails, sending out emails, whatever. A car pulls up next to me, yeah, and he starts asking me Hebrew for direction to a certain place. And as he starts speaking, I recognize his voice. And it's a friend of mine that I haven't seen for 21 years. Okay? I said to him, Nochem? And he looked at me, it was like, and then he just like, we both started shouting. We got out the car, hugging each other. It was just like, so why was he there? I don't know, I was there because I had no reason to be there. It was like, no, absolutely the sugar why I was there. I said, why are you here? He said, he's looking, whatever, he has to rent a machsan somewhere. He's just moved back from Meron to Yerushalayim. And he needs a machsan, whatever. So he found a machsan in this in one of those moshavim there. You know, there's a moshav right there. He went up to get to this guy's house, and they're busy working on the road, and he couldn't get through. So they told him, go around and turn around and go back, and you'll find it there. So he came around, he got terribly lost. He saw from guy sitting in a car. He came to ask for directions. Afterwards, when he spoke to the guy said, you've just parked your car where the road works on, walked. It's 10 meters from my house. Yeah. And we met after 21 years. Okay, we were very close. We drifted apart. He started marrying off kids. I married off kids, whatever. He's a great grandfather, really. I'm a South African guy. He stayed in my house once. I lived in his house. He was, when I was becoming Frum, he was very, very instrumental. In the early, early days when I was in Osamach, he was whatever. We stayed on the Moshav. He found me somewhere to stay, whatever. We were very instrumental in our early, early stages of our life. And he was also whatever. And we just, now, That's a maifus. That for me is that's not teva. That's a Kodesh Baruch Hu telling me, you know, Animanel, I needed you to meet him. I don't know why yet. We'll see as the story unfolds. I'll know. But so I remember what the Rav told me on taking him to the mikveh. So I have to take that somehow and work that into the big miracle. That's the anyway. But back to our subject. I just thought I'll share that with you as apprentices. We're apprentice Bale Betochen. We're not Bale Betochen. So we have to do what works for us. Always go back, Yonatan, to the Yesod we learned from Rav Dessler in the world of Ishtadlis, is the Ishtadlis has to be done in such a way that you won't have charota, that you didn't do enough. In other words, you have to know where you're holding. A big Baal Betochen, if he didn't do anything, the Brisker Rav, even if he didn't take any Ishtadlis, he'd have charota. If it came, it came. It didn't come, it didn't come. He wasn't worried about that. It wasn't his problem. The Leshem, they said by the Leshem, if Ari Levin didn't give him food, he never had food. He didn't bring chalas for Shabbos. He didn't have chalas for Shabbos. Lo man yenoto. The Chazanish said about himself, I never need to eat. I never have a desire to eat. When my wife gives me food, I know I have to eat. Okay, so we're very far away from that. Way far away from that. So if you're going to live like that, you're eventually going to start having regrets and charot as you go meshuga. You have to know where you're holding. And live your life according to that and go a little bit further. Maybe take a small step away from where you're really holding. In the Chovas HaLevavos, he's talking about a chosid. This is a chosid. They're talking to people who are chosid, bothered to talking to. We're not holding them. So why do we have to be a bit more murgan? If you would sit the whole month and not do anything about worrying about paying the rent at the end of the month, and then the month comes, you don't have money to pay the rent, you got evicted. Mustoma, you'd feel you'd have charata that was such an idiot. Why didn't I make more ishtadlis? I guess. I don't know. I haven't seen you for a while. Maybe you've grown into a new place. But I'm just saying, I would kick myself and say, you idiot, why don't you make more ishtadlis? So then I can't do that. That's not called betochen anymore. That's called foolishness. Yeah, we're talking about somebody who's making demands on Hashem. If you don't do this, I'm not doing this. You know, the Choni Amagel is if you don't give the rain, I'm not coming out of the circle. If I would say that to Hashem, I'd just like fall asleep standing in a circle for the rest of my life. Hashem's not going to, I'm not Choni Amagel. Okay, so let's just see here. Oh, so why are you asking for Hashem? If Hashem can't ask you to do a mitzvah today, that's a mitzvah for tomorrow. Hashem can't ask you to go eat matzah now and makan the mitzvah because they're not koshrach shav. So how can you ask Hashem to give you now what you don't need now when you need it? Hashem will give it to you. You don't even know when you'll be around. You even want Hashem should give you the food and the sustenance you need for your wife and children who don't even exist yet. You want Hashem to give you food for children that haven't even been born. You want enough money to be able to buy food and extras, not just food. You want extras as well. Days that you don't know and days that aren't guaranteed you. You're asking for financial security to afford anything you desire for long as your children live. Asking Hashem to give you the what you need in order to survive. You need food, you need clothing, you need rent, you need heat, you need cold. For a specific time. You know, for a year, whatever, I'm saying. Okay, that's one thing. But this Baal Mashkin's asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu to give him everything he needs for everybody who hasn't even born yet or whatever, but for everything he needs. I'll get a chicken cup one day. I want to go to the Bahamas. I have to have the money in the bank for that. I want to fly first class. I don't want to ever have to worry about money. Then I'll start serving you, Hashem. That's who we're talking about. The law, if we just finish this, it's quick. You not only do not serve Hashem in advance, you don't even think about the service you've neglected in the past. Not only aren't you serving Hashem in the future and you're asking Hashem to pay you in the future, you're not even thinking about how you've neglected your obligations in the past. Days which HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't neglect to supply you with what you needed on those days. On the days where you weren't doing the avodas Hashem you're supposed to be doing, Hashem still gave you what you needed. Otherwise, how did you do the avodas? How did you? So the whole thing is completely cocker. It's completely crooked. This is the third response, the etzim of the third response of this chosid to the people. You can't ask Hashem for advance payment since you're already completely up to your eyeballs in debt to Hashem. And you haven't earned what you have in order to pay what he's done for you already, and you're already asking for future. So that's one of the strongest of the tochochas, of the riyas against the person is Makkah Mashkin. And I'm glad, Yonatan, you asked that question, because as we mentioned last week when we started this, we also have a tendency to do this. You have to be very careful to know, is this a mashka that I'm asking for, or I'm also in normal planning, healthy, you know, living a normal, healthy life for based on me and where I'm holding and what's appropriate to me. It's a fine line, by the way. That a person has to be honest with himself and check out, what am I really asking for Hashem? Is this something that's considered, that's what I need to live on in order to have yeshiva das and nachas ruach and in order to be able to function properly? What's extras that we went through at length in the early chapters? And what's a demand here? And what's something that I have a chiv to make yishtadlus in order to get what I need in order to support myself and the people that we saw in Perek Dalet that I'm obligated to take care of? Your family, the workers, whatever, the people you have obligations to take care of. Okay, so that's the second and the third refutation of the Bala Mashkin. That's a shame, we'll carry that on next week. And that's it. Have an enjoyable, good rest of the week. And that's a shame, we'll see you around.
See you Rabbi tomorrow, God willing.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Oh, yeah.
Lala, good evening. Lala. Take care of that.
Thank you, Jonathan. Take care.